Good morning. Does anyone here have the Amplified Bible? Karen? What do you have, Vic?
Mine's New King James. I could get it online if you want me to.
That's okay. I was reading in Matthew. I read this a while back, and it is stuck in my mind. But the Bible I was reading at home, I don't know, maybe New International Version. I don't think it was Amplified, but it said it on the pot.
This is the new NLT.
What's the scripture?
We have about 5 different Bibles and 5 different versions.
But you're familiar with the story of Jesus crossing the Sea of Galilee to the other side after a lot of different things. This is in Matthew chapter 8. He gets across the other side with the apostles and it says, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. There are churches, you know, this is an aside here, there are churches in the United States that don't even speak of demons, don't believe in them. But it's throughout the New Testament. I don't know why they think they disappeared. These are angels, were angels at one time in heaven, and got cast down on Lucifer when they rebelled in heaven. Now they're demons roaming the earth, pestering mankind. That's their job. But in the Bible I was reading, it says a little bit differently in the Bible I was reading. And that's why I asked you. So.
I have it.
Verse 8:29. It says, and suddenly they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Understand, these are two men, but they ain't speaking.
That's right.
It's the demons in them. What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? Before the time. The Bible at home says before God's, before the day of the Lord, or before God's day.
God's appointed time.
Yep.
The appointed time.
And then in brackets of judgment.
Oh, okay. Now, I thought, my goodness, up here in Matthew 24, I'm sure you at one time or another you've all heard it, read it. It's about the apostles asking about the end of the age, the end times. Now, this is chapter 8. These demons, through these men, are asking them, have you come here to torment us before the time? Time of the Lord. At the end of things. I must have read that before, and we've all heard it preached on, but these demons knew there's an appointed time coming, where their time is up, but not right now. Although he cast them into swine, they have to live in something to do something. You know, they've got to be an animal, person, something. And here's another thing. You know, these apostles. Some of them were, you read some of this, and they weren't sure just about this. They weren't sure who the rabbi was. What is he? Is he the Messiah? Is he son of God? Is he just an enlightened teacher? You know, this is at the beginning of his ministry, but it's awesome that Matthew, former tax collector, is here to record this. These demons called him, "You son of God." They knew him, just like that. And I was thinking about that. Before Satan was cast down, rebelled against God, they seen the Son of God in heaven already.
Yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
They knew him. They knew him. Matter of fact, he might have been the one to say, shot him down to earth like lightning. Saw it. And they knew him. So I thought it was so sad. Jesus was sent, first of all, to the house of Israel to save them. Then to the Gentiles later on, you know, to save the world. But so many did not recognize him. But these two stinking demons knew who he was like that. Isn't that sad of our earth here?
Yeah.
Still don't know who Jesus is. Not sure about him, heard about him, nice guy, good teacher, something. This is the Son of the Living God. And they not only called him the Son of God, they knew that their time, one of these days, their time is up. Where the Father's going to send him back. Wipe out Antichrist, the false prophet, chain Lucifer, throw him in the pit for 1,000 years. So I don't know, that was stewing in me, and I just had to tell you that.
Rise up,
awaken. You know, that one verse tells you, goodness, Jesus, you're the Son of God, and the enemy has a certain time, and it's coming where the Lord will deal with them. But he cast them into swine, he went down there and drowned, and so forth. But which I always used to wonder, what are swine doing in Israel? What are the, because, you know, that's not kosher. No pigs. And then I heard some guy preaching and said, hey, who ruled the land of Israel at this time? The Romans. They had to eat. They ate pigs. They raised pigs for the Romans, for the Gentile people. Okay, it makes sense. Except I don't think those pigs got served up. They were in the lake. They were in the lake. But anyway, a lot of barbecue ribs went to waste right there. But anyway, that's your little Bible lesson for the day. That even demons, they recognize Jesus right off the bat. And our world today.
No.
Oh, boy. But, there's a lot of good prophetic utterances through prophets by the Holy Spirit, and boy, the Lord is doing it, going to do a work this year and this decade.
Hallelujah.
I mean, yeah, but I want to tell you something. You seen old Trump, he was in India a few days ago. A couple weeks ago, I caught a Kuhneman prophecy when he was with Benny Hinn, speaking to India, the Lord God. And I want to tell you this, because I want you to listen, you know, pay attention to the news. The prophecy said it would be reported. And the Lord said that he has heard the cries of the small church, the people in India, who said, we need a visit of God. We need a visit of God. And he says he's heard their cries, and he will visit them. And he said, it will be He said, I will show my humor. God has a sense of humor. I will show my humor where, you know, India has hundreds, thousands of gods.
Yeah.
God says. And he says, just like Dagon. You know who Dagon is? The Philistine god, giant statue, who Samson was fooled by Delilah, cut his hair off, and he was in that temple, the giant temple of Dagon, and he was blinded, and he knocked down the pillars, and Dagon fell. There's another scripture, and I'm not sure where it is, where that statue had fallen, and he built it, and had fallen again, because the Lord took it down. But anyway, in that prophecy, the Lord said, just like when Dagon fell, so will these statues in India fall.
Amen.
They will fall, and they'll say, what happened to our idols, our statues? And he said it would be reported. So I'm going to look for it. You know, it might be next week, next year, 2024. Who knows? But I'm looking forward to that. Because that land has more idols than you can use. But I also want to say one thing. I was watching Trump in India. Anybody see him? Because they don't put him on national news. He received a welcome that blew me away. Did he? I mean,
honor.
In a stadium of 150,000 spoke. I mean, just an awesome welcome. But he showed him going to some dinner, walking up this magnificent, I don't know, palace, steps. No, it wasn't that. It was something else. He visited that, but this was something else in the evening where you could see whoever was escorting him up there, him and his wife, there was a cow on this stand with all these tails and feet sticking out. You know, it's an idol. And he's standing there, the President of the United States, you know, like this. Yeah, and I thought, I said, don't bow, don't do anything, like, other than just maybe show them interest.
And tell them why.
I didn't want the President of the United States giving any credence to any idol in India.
That's right.
But, and then they showed him another place, and it was like an alcove with this fancy.
That was Dagon.
Well, I don't know, that's a Philistine guy. But
it's
this other idol, whatever it was, and it looked like a spot where people could kneel down if they wanted to or whatever. But I said to him again, don't do big or drop. And he didn't. He didn't do a thing. He just, you know, kind of had his hands like this. Okay, that's a nice marble carving or whatever. But he didn't. But I will say this, at the end of that speech, between 150,000 Indians, I mean, there was a massive crowd. At the end, he said, you know, I appreciate your welcome, your warm welcome. We love the Indian people and so forth. And then he says, God bless India. God bless the United States. And people cheered and roared and all this. And I thought, wow, he said God, not gods. In a land of 1,000 gods, he said God. And I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
You know, I don't know how people look at Trump, but how you may look at him, but I was thankful he gave credence to our God. And didn't embarrass our God, nor our country in front of them. So I'm thankful for that. But I'm sure what that has to do with what I was talking about earlier. Anyway, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you that we have the opportunity to come here and lift the name of our Savior Jesus, our King. Our King. Thank you, Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that there will be a day of reckoning for the enemy of our souls, for Lucifer and his minions. There will be a day. But in the meantime, because of Jesus, those of us who call on his name are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We have power and authority over this enemy. And we thank you for it, Father God. We thank you for that victorious visit by our president. In my view, and that's just my view, he did not embarrass you, Father God. He did not embarrass this country. And I thank you for the awesome welcome. I said to my wife, Father God, that is because of you, Lord. You are leading the way for him. Not because he's all this great man, because you have an agenda to turn this nation around and to do a mighty work in this nation and the earth. And I thank you for that. I thank you for this morning, Lord. I pray that our praise and worship is a sweet sound in your ear this morning, Lord God. Help all of us to join in the praises of your holy name. Because it says in your word, you inhabit our praise. If we don't praise, there's no habitation. So, Father God, we thank you. We thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Give your Bibles today. Please turn to Psalms 104. Psalms 104. Praise the silent Lord for his creation and providence. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters. Who makes the clouds his chariot? Who walks on the wings of the wind? Who makes his angels spirits? His ministers a flame of fire? Who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever? You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains, and at your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder, they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys, to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. He sends the springs into the valleys, and they flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst, and by them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied in the fruit of the works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, the vegetation for the service of man, and that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are filled, full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he planted, where the birds make their nests, the stork has their home, and the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons, and the sun knows it's going down, and makes darkness, and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after they prey, and they seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until evening. O Lord, how manifold you are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. This great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things both great and small. that our ships sailed about, and there is that Leviathan in which you have made to play there. These all await you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open their hand, and they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. They take away their breath and die and return to the dust. You send forth your spirit, and they are created. And you renew the faces of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. And I will sing a praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditations be sweet to him. And I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Blessings the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
Well, I have a good word for you today. I want to talk about getting fired up. You know, I don't know about you, but there are certain days that I just kind of like to lay in bed and just look around, take my time getting up. And you know, we don't really have time for that. The Lord is saying, fire up. The Lord is saying, get with it. The Lord is saying, move. Do something with what I give to you. You come to this service today and you walk out the doors the same way you were when you came in here, something wrong. And I love the songs we did today. I don't know, I just hope that I can move and do the things the kids would do and know that the Lord kind of gets me on fire for him. And I love that feeling. I hope I never lose that feeling, because there is joy when you come to know the Lord. Well, my message today is about the harvest and also about firing up for the harvest. And so my message comes out of a couple of scriptures, and the first one that I'm looking at right now is in Matthew. And in the book of Matthew, it calls all of us sheep. And if you don't know anything about sheep, you know me, I'm a city girl. So I never knew nothing about sheep. And sheep just wander, and they do their own thing, and they go over here, and the shepherd brings them back in, brings them back in. And what I tried to tell everybody in here last Sunday, or maybe two Sundays ago, is that all of you are loved by the Lord. No one is better than anybody else. No one has better giftings than anybody else. The Lord has given each one of us giftings, but we are his sheep. And sometimes we get a little lazy. And so what he does is he draws us in. So anyways, in Matthew, verse 9, I'm kind of going to go up a little bit. I'm going to talk verse 35. Then Jesus went all around the cities, and he went around the villages, teaching in their synagogues. Oh, you know, I love that. I love being an evangelist, that's what we call them today. I like going over here, I like talking to the kids, you know, I go to Traverse City, I kind of go all over, and I love to talk about the word of the Lord. I love that. And I guess it's preaching, it's something I hear from the Lord, and it's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And what I mean by that is it's kingdom purposes. Jesus is not coming back as a little baby Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas time, which of course was born at Christmas. Love telling people that. But the little baby Jesus, he's not coming back like that. He's coming back as the lion from the tribe of Judah. And he's coming back for his own. He's coming back for those who believe in him. And then the ones that have been brought to him, that have been sold out to him, that have given their hearts to him, been baptized and are born again. And I'm really sorry, but if you're not born again, you shouldn't leave this place until you give your heart to the Lord. Because all that it says is call upon his name. Now, when I was a little girl, my grandpa would go through this whole blah, 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 and I'd go, oh my gosh, I couldn't and remembered. I didn't know if I could say it right, whatever. And what it says in the Word of God is just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Purify my heart. I know that you died, that you rose, and you're coming back for me. Forgive me of my sins. That's what we always say. He's already forgiven you of your sin because he already died on the cross. So it's taken care of. I mean, truthfully, I remember, I don't know how many times I would say that prayer over and over again just in case I miss something. And I want you to know from my heart that the Lord is looking for pure hearts that is corrupt. But the Lord wants all of us to come to him, and when we blow it, and we will blow it, because we are human, we are to repent. And it's forgiven. It's done. You don't have to carry that and feel bad about it. Give it to the Lord and just don't do it again. You've heard my story so many times, but out there the harvest is so ripe. You know, people are hungry. They want to know about Jesus, but they don't want to know the fake. They want to know the real. They really want to know that he really does exist and that he really does love them. Excuse me. Then Jesus went about all the cities and all the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Isn't that powerful? We need to know who we are. He left us with that. That we can go around in his great name and pray for people that are sick, and they will recover. It's not something magical, spooky, whatever. I just want you to know it is his healing touch that sets you free. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and they were scattered. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been weary many times. Like just burned out. And I love it when the Lord just ministers to me, builds me back up, and gives me the strength to do what I have to do for him. Like sheep having no shepherd. Can you imagine looking out and seeing so many people that don't even know about Jesus? It breaks my heart. I taught school for 33 years. And I would look at the kids out there and I'd say, oh, Lord, just touch those kids. Because I had such a heart cry for kids that I wanted to see all of them come to Jesus. And what they had in their mind, what they thought Jesus was all about, was ridiculous. I don't know where they ever heard that from. So it says in verse 37 that he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but my laborers are few. Verse 38, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers, into the harvest. You know, it's not old people like me that's going to bring in the harvest. It's young people like throughout this place as I see them doing different things. That's what they're looking at. I really believe it's old and young coming together to witness out there, to be that light, to help someone. Maybe you don't know what to say when you meet someone. Maybe you just don't know what to do. But what the Lord can give you the words to say to someone. So, can we do more to bring in the harvest? That's what I hear from the Lord. I welcome the podcasters. We have about 1,000 people that follow us all over the nation. And I welcome them to hear this podcast today. Hopefully you're hungry and you're desiring the Lord Jesus Christ and he's there for you. And so I want to encourage not just to listen a little bit to this message, but listen to everything that the Lord has to say. You know, it was really amazing to me when I was thinking about Schindler's List, our kids were like in high school when they studied Schindler's List. And I really had a hard time understanding what things were being done to the Jews then, what are being done to the Jews today, what are being done when people come into the church and they're not of the Lord and they just wipe you out because they don't want you to exist because you got a good word. It's really a strange world that is out there today. But I want you to know that Schindler ended up getting all these Jew people, not all of them, but quite a few of them, and he had a factory. He had to make all kinds of things in there, parts, sometimes pans, anything that he could think of for them to be alive. So if you've never seen it before, and you truly do not understand the Holocaust, it really did exist. And it's really a hard thing for many of us to understand what could drive the German people, what could drive us to have so much hate in our hearts that we don't care about people? What? Because we're all different. And it just amazes me. It's a hard thing for me to understand the things that were done to young and old. And the Holocaust people that were alive were only the kids that survived. But they're almost gone now. They're in their late 80s. But I hope we never forget that. I hope we never forget how much the Lord loved us. And he did absolutely nothing. And he was in his 30s and died. Took all our sins. All of us. All of our sins. On the cross. So that you and I can live. So you and I can have eternal life and be with him. You can't work for it. You can't do it. You can't be a goody two-shoe, as my kids would say. You can't win doing things at a church, do anything. That's not what saves you. The only thing that saves you is Jesus. That's simple. And there's a new thing that's out there that there's no hell. Kids have talked to me about it. There's a new teaching that's coming out of the pulpits that there's no hell. Well, I want you to know there is a hell. And I hope none of us go there. To be tormented day and night and it never stops. That's a real thing. And it just takes something as simple as saying, I believe in you. Come into my heart. And I just have a hard time because I worked with atheists. I worked with some of the top scientific people, and they always tried to reason out everything. And you can't. You just have to believe. So as I was preparing this, there were so many Jews that died in death camps beyond our understanding. In fact, when the American soldiers actually went to the Holocaust areas, or the concentration areas, they were in shock. The men didn't even know how to deal with it. The people were so skinny, they had no hair, their ribs stuck out. It was awful. And I used to show pictures to my students, and they'd go to me and say to me, oh, is that really for real? I don't know about you, but I get kind of excited when I can go to the grocery store and get what I want to eat. You know, I mean, I'm not really suffering here. And I love to cook, and they maybe had yucky water. When you hear stories about people who had dysentery, means that not only did they vomit, but they also had severe diarrhea that was uncontrollable. Terrible things, terrible things. Well, what about today? There are terrible things that are going on out there. There are people who are homeless. There are people that they don't know if they're going to get a paycheck. We have veterans. Thank God, I really believe this in my heart, that Trump has really helped. I noticed a new hospital or doctor's office or whatever you want to call it right there in Traverse City. So I've seen more of a respect for the men and women that give their lives out there when they come back. They can find a job.
But the harvest is huge out there. I know I can't do it. I know Joe can't do it. I know some of our leadership team can't do it. But we can do something. And I wrote down a quote here that the Lord said that the harvest was precious to him. That the harvest of people was so huge that it actually brought tears to his eyes because, you know, hey, if you don't fit with the rules of my church, you can go somewhere else. So many people are turned away, even in churches. Make no mistake, Jesus loves people whether you do or not.
Amen.
And I love that. You know, I've kept a big heart up with love, and I know we're going into a, you know, another holiday, but I just felt that the Father was saying that if all of us would just come to that table, come and get in his presence, he would tell us where to go and what to do. You know, when I was, when Joe and I were in our 30s, my gosh, you know, the churches were packed out because everybody was hungry and thirsty, and we didn't even have our act together, but we came to the house of the Lord. The people in the United States, are they hungry and are they thirsty for the Lord? Do they want to hear the good things about the Lord? But anyways, what the Lord said to me is, I think the harvest is perplexed. And I thought, Lord, what are you saying, perplexed? He was saying that the harvest doesn't know what is the real thing, the wrong thing. They don't know where to go. That they are so perplexed and harassed when they're helpless. Harassment means that you feel so defeated in life you don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. Some of you still live with mom and dad, and hey, that's really cool. But hey, when you get out on your own and you see what that world is like out there, are you prepared? I remember saying something off the wall at one time to my son, and I said, you know, Shawnee, he goes, Mom, I'm getting an apartment. I says, well, that's really cool. And so anyways, he got an apartment, and he remembered me saying one time that you could always survive when you didn't have any money if you bought beans, because beans was protein. So when Joe and I helped Sean with different things and we opened up his cupboard, it was full of cereal and beans. Nothing else. And I said, Sean, I said, why do you got so many beans? He goes, Mama, don't you remember what you told me? No, not really. He goes, but you told me you could always survive on cereal, because Dad likes cereal, and beans, and you could make it. And I never forgot that. You know, some of us just really have it so good. But when we get out there, it's really a struggle. So I love telling young people, because we do have younger people here at this church, that you can make it with the help of the Lord. But if you think that you can make it without the Lord, you will fail.
Okay, that's right.
And I love telling people that truly want to get married. Hello, Di.
Hello.
That truly want to get married. If you don't have the Lord in your life, you can hang it up. Because I told my daughter when she's here now, she's in her later part of her 30s, and I said, you know what, Sarah? I said, when you were a baby, it always seemed like you got sick 2 or 3 in the morning. Let's open it, 2, 3 in the morning. But I remember Joe and I wrapping her up, praying for her, and walking up and down the aisles. I want you to hear this in regards to the harvest. Would you be willing to pick up someone else and carry them and help them? Would you be willing to pray for them in their hardest times? There's just something inside of me that makes me hurt when I know how people are really suffering out there. And I don't know if I have any answer for them, but I know the more that you trust in the Lord and take one step, the more He will greet you and help you to make it. He'll help you find a job. He'll help you find a place where you can get a meal.
But the one thing I feel in my heart is to be thankful for the smallest things that you get. So those are thoughts that are in my mind. People are harassed. People are helpless. They don't know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. They're desperate for an answer. And most of them just want to take their life. Because, you know, that's an easy way out. That's easy. And I really want you to know from my heart that you were born for a purpose. You were born for a destiny. You were born because God has given every person in this room today something to give, a reason to live, a reason that you can make it. And all I know is, how desperate are you for Him? You know, when you really cry out to Him and you cry out for others, I really want you to know, deep down inside of me, He will reach you. You got to be willing to be helped. I also believe in my heart that when the Lord said that the harvest was perishing, He was showing how many people didn't want to live. It broke my heart to see even young people that wanted to take their lives, you know, because they broke up with a girlfriend or who knows, they couldn't pass their class and their parents were on their tail to do a better job. I want you to know that the Lord wants you to live today. The Lord's got a reason you're here. The Lord said in John 4:35 that the harvest is ripe. But we have to be willing to take a chance to reach out to someone else. I might not understand what you're going through, but the Lord does. And another thing that the Lord showed me here is that there should be a sense of urgency so deep down inside of you that you want to reach out to someone else. That you really care about someone else. They don't have to be like you. They don't have to look like you. They don't have to talk like you. But you know what? The Lord knows who they are, and He wants you to reach out to them. When we talk about the light of Jesus inside of you, you should have enough inside of you that you can go sit with someone. How about giving them a place to stay? How about giving them a piece of bread? I said to Joe when he had my daughter over, I didn't have very much in the house. I thought, my gosh, what am I going to have? But you know, the Lord stretched it. I found a little bit of this and a little bit of that and put it all together. And thank you, Jesus. And then on top of it, my daughter said, Mom, that was one of the best meals you ever made. It made me feel good. I didn't even have it. You might not have it. But you can know what you do have and give it away. Truthfully, as all of you are sitting in here, the harvest should be your priority. When the Lord sent Joe and I up here, I love where we live at. And we told him we'd always open up our house and help people. That's what we told him. When he said to come here and start this church, I thought, what? There are people that are desperate. And we need to care enough. So that's why we started this church. We have to feel what Jesus feels. I remember when I was in Washington, D.C., there was this young man, I don't know how old he was. I tripled down. And he was living in a cardboard box. And I had taken a whole bunch of kids to Washington, D.C. And we were wandering around, and this kid was hungry. This kid stunk. This kid looked like someone I definitely wish was closer to where I lived at. I would have taken him home. We wouldn't let him take a bath. The Lord said, well, don't you got the munchies in your backpack? And I thought, yeah, I had munchies for the 250 kids I took. And the Lord says, I want you to bend down and be even with him in that box. Oh my gosh. I thought of lice. I thought about catching something. I thought about all kinds of things. So let's be real here, don't we, Olivia? And so I was talking to this young man, and he told me how he took pieces of newspaper and he stuffed them inside this box to stay warm. And he lifted up his box and he was on one of those vent things where the heat steams up from the street. And it warmed up the box and everything. And I said, well, how long have you been here? He said, I don't really know. I said, well, don't you go to like soup kitchens? Aren't there soup kitchens or, you know, places that you can go? Oh, I don't want to go there. Isn't there a church that you could go to? No, I don't have a church. So I talked with him for quite some time. I even crawled inside his box. And I spent time with him, and I literally emptied out my backpack of everything that I thought I needed and gave it to him. It was temporary. But I loved it. I still talk about it now. And it's been maybe 13, 14 years. There are people who are suffering. And their soul is even suffering more. How much do we care? You know, I see many things on TV about helping people in other countries. I see, you know, people that walk a great, great distance, you know, to get food or medical or whatever. I see people that, you know, they help them to get a well so they can have fresh water. And I just look at the kids and they're splashing themselves, you know, with the water that we take for granted. I want you to think of something this week. I want you to think about who you could reach out to, who you could help, who you could talk to them about Jesus and have them give their life to Jesus. This little boy, I mean, this little boy is probably 20, 25, 30, I don't know. You're still a little boy to me, and I just wanted to help you all. I really did. There are people out there that are really, really hurting. And Jesus said this so much to me, is what can you do? Who can you talk to? The third level crisis building in Traverse City has reached out to more kids that have wanted to commit suicide than I can even speak to you. Kids that just don't know what to do. They don't know which way to go. And many of us, and I mean, when the lady told me the percentage of kids, I was devastated. I just want you to hear that from the Holy Spirit, that we got something. So we need to fire up with him and do something with what I'm telling you today. We need to be able to reach out to someone, to give them something, to help them with something. And truthfully, it doesn't always have to be materialistic things like food, water. Sometimes it could just be a listening ear. Talking on the phone. Hey, you kids with your media stuff, come on, look what you can reach out there. Better than some of us people. That's what you can do. And I really believe that if you don't know how to help someone to get to know who Jesus is, that he's real, he's not this, I don't know what you want to think of him as, but I've heard all different kinds of things from kids. He was God that came down in man form. He already knows everything you're going through. And you know, if you can just have a little message, you can carry it around. Kids can find it like on their phones, probably easier, and I'm even talking right here. They can help you lead someone else to Jesus Christ. I'm serious. He's coming. I don't know when. Any church that says the dates are out of order. But he's coming. Are we ready? I love this, the story of the starfish. And if you've ever heard my story of the starfish, there was an old guy, and he'd walk up and down Lake Michigan, and he'd find shells that were crushed, or he'd even sometimes go to the ocean and see starfish that came on shore. But anyways, the whole story goes that he would pick them up and throw them back in the water. And people would come by and say, you know what you're doing? You're wasting your time. They're dying. But he said, you know, if just one lived, if one shell lived, if one mollusk lived, if one starfish lived, if one person just lived, then we have done something for the kingdom. Isn't that powerful? That we care enough about that, a life. It breaks my heart when I hear so much about the abortion issue, when I hear about how people don't care about babies anymore. It's so sad. It's so sad that human life has no value. But the Lord wants to know that everybody in here has value. And he knows who you are. So I heard this from the Lord, and hopefully I can go right to it. Is the church was gathering. Didn't we do that today? Hey, we're gathering, we're praising the Lord, we're giving honor to him, so we have a place to meet. When you come to church, it really is sanctified, it's holy, it's an upper room. That's why I don't love a lot of goofing around go here, because I love the presence of the Lord. I want everybody to know when they walk through that door. Hey, there were people even in the upper room in the Bible, 120 of them. Some people go to church, and you have business meetings, and you elect officers, and you have your prayer meetings, and you have your youth time, and you have your choir practice, and hey, on Tuesdays we all pray. But who did we bring in? What one person did we bring into our church to tell them how loved they are by the Lord? That's what I mean by getting fired up. You know, well, this isn't a bad church, it's a good church. But you know, we have something to do for the kingdom, and that's to bring in the harvest. It's to get ready, to get ourselves ready, to tell people how valuable they are. I think that is so powerful. I think some of us are going to get a rude awakening when our time comes to go to heaven and we see who's up there. Who didn't make it? It's not in names. It's not in money. It's all about love. It's about giving of yourself. There's lots of messages about firing up. And I want to encourage you today. Get yourself on fire. That's why I did those fast songs. Get fired up. Get so full of him that you want to give it away. And the other thing that the Lord said to me was this. Some of us have to realize that the fire is purifying us. Not to go through that. The super serve people that just ticked me off. I didn't like them. I like their attitudes. And I just wanted to zap them. Delete, like it does on the computer. Delete, delete, delete. Don't have to deal with it. Then I found I saw that person more, they sat next to me more, they called me on the phone more. The Lord already deleted it. You see, the Lord wants us to change our mindset, to change our hearts, and to realize how important everybody is. Encourage them. Ask them to come to church. Church is you. This is just a building. You are the church. You have something to give to this world. So I want to encourage you today from the Holy Spirit. Fire up. Get with it. Get moving. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Father. I ask you to seal this message by your blood.